3. Good morning, good afternoon. What's cracking wherever you are? I'm live. I'm in Southern California. I'm pumped to be here. I'm Jim Rome. It's been a big day. We are in the middle of a Smack-Off season. Alvin dropped an iconic and legendary Smack-Off promo. More than 6 minutes in running length. It is so good. We had that for you earlier today. I gave you my thoughts on last night's matchup. That Miami Heat culture, nowhere to be found last night. Strange. Really strange stuff. Denver looked great. So we talked about the shift in that series and where that leaves us. Telephone number is toll free. In the meantime, 1-800-636-8686. You know this is a big Duval house. A big Duval house. It always has been. So we are going to talk some Jaguar football right now. We are joined by a linebacker for the Jags. That's it. He is entering his second season with the team. He played his college ball at Utah. He had a great college career there. He was the 27th pick overall in 2022. Last season, 115 tackles, 3 INTs, a couple of forced fumbles. He was named to the Pro Football Writers of America All-Rookie Team. The Jags open up their season at the Colts on September 10th. We are joined by Devin Lloyd once again. Devin, it's good to have you back. How are you?
I am so great, and I just want to say, whoever that was in the background, that was a great Duval.
Wasn't that? That is the queen. That's Danica. She's the caller of the program.
Yeah.
She is the best, dude. In fact, let me just jump right ahead to Duval. I mean, even through thick and thin, you're only in year number two. The fans have always been there. What is it like balling out for those fans, and especially right now, since things are so good?
Well, they're just so supportive, especially as we started to play better throughout the year, even more and more showed up. But they've always been there, like you said, and they just love football. They love the Jags, us being pretty much the main attraction in Jacksonville. You know, they love their football. And, you know, I mean, we're always appreciative for every time they show up, but especially towards the latter part of the year when we play some substantial games. They really showed up and showed out.
They always do. They show up, they show out, and I love the energy. Even here in California, this is why this is a big Duval house. I love the vibe. I love the energy. Listen, it's good to run you down once again. I'm curious, you're coming off your first NFL offseason, so how did you approach it, and what did you do to improve mentally and physically?
Yeah, first off, as soon as the season was done, I just got away from football. I got some time off to recover my body, first and foremost, recover my mind. Just get back to feeling fresh. You know, the season wears you down, so I had to get back to feeling fresh. And then, you know, about a month in, really just starting to build things back up. I think the substantial time away was much needed for it being my first offseason. Just slowly started to build things back up from there. And really, I'm at a point now where I feel great mentally, physically, spiritually. I feel great, and, you know, we're still in a phase where we're just continuing to build it back even more.
Devin Lloyd joining us. You know what's curious to me about that? Correct me if I'm wrong, but you were never that guy. You were never a get-away-from-football guy. You were never a big vacation guy, were you? That was something new for you, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. I have definitely learned how to balance time away from football even better, and I think that's going to help me in the long run. Before I was just always, it was football, 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 like all the time, you know, trying to get better, trying to improve my craft, trying to just work, work, work. But really understanding now, especially, you know, after such a rigorous NFL season, you realize that you could easily burn yourself out. And so I think my balance of life away from football, I think that's the one of the biggest areas of growth that, I really started to master, especially over this offseason.
Talking to Devin Lloyd. So, Devin, the thing is, like, I read your numbers. You put up really big numbers last year. You know the old saying that the standard is the standard, standard above feelings. Despite those big numbers last year, do you feel like you ever set your own personal standard last season?
Yeah, I did. And, I mean, really, the standard is just being able to watch film and not having plays that you just regret. You know, I think there's always good and there's bad, sometimes ugly, but there's some plays where you just really, really want that back. And, you know, I had more than I wanted to see out there last year, you know, understanding that it was my rookie year and that's going to happen, but there was more than I wanted to see out there. And so I think that's just the the biggest jump, and that's why I don't feel like I necessarily met that standard last year. And so I think that's going to also be one of my biggest areas of growth as far as improvement on the field. But really just the standard is always going to be the standard, and it's a standard of excellence, but it's not perfection. Understanding that, you know, I am human and I'm going to make mistakes, but just understanding that I just want to be the best version of myself every time I step on the field.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, I could argue in your defense and say, hey, listen, that you're being pretty tough on yourself. And by the way, you missed a big part of training camp. So maybe you are being really tough on yourself, but this is what's going to make you great by holding yourself to the standard. So now a year later, and now you're healthy, you feel great, you're at OTAs. How much more comfortable and confident are you in year two of this system compared to a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, I truthfully believe that was night and day, just because going into last year, it was a lot of firsts. And, I mean, even throughout the coaching staff, it was, you know, first-time position coach, first-time DC, first-year rookie. It was a lot of firsts for all of us. So just all of us as a group, you know, and me understanding what it's like now, what the culture is like, what the environment is like, and what to expect coming, you know, in the fall. I mean, I really do see a night and day difference. Even just during these OTAs, the communication is sharp, the energy is on point, and I'm just speaking, you know, as a group, but, you know, how I fit into the puzzle, you know, I think everybody is just clicking, and it, I mean, it just is so much better.
Is it like all of a sudden you can see things a lot more clearly, maybe things that you didn't see so well last year, and because of that, can you play so much faster? And because you're playing faster, are you just kind of like being an athlete, reacting and not thinking so much? Is that what it comes down to?
100% right. Yes, 100% right. More anticipation opposed to reaction. I mean, really understanding the defense now that we had time away from ball. We're not scheming or anything like that. So really, I had a chance to just master the defense and know how to play within the scheme, understanding who's working with me at times. So really just understanding the scheme, you know, that's going to be another crucial part of growth from last year.
Devin Lloyd joining us for a few more moments. I want to cover a couple of topics with you. So the Jags overcame that 3-7 start. They win the AFC South. I mean, an amazing year last year. And then on top of that, you cap it with that incredible comeback win over the Chargers in the wild card round. And Trevor Lawrence, of course, showed out huge. I mean, you see this guy every single day in practice. How far did he come last season? And then what kind of a leader is he?
Yeah, he definitely leads by example. I think he's always doing the right thing. And the thing that I noticed about him that is just absolutely great is his humility. He's just so humble because he has all the talent in the world, God-given talent, and, you know, he's so genuine. And so, I mean, I just think with his attitude and his mindset, it's going to be nothing but success. It doesn't matter the trials he faces. He's always going to find a way to mentally get through it. And that's when you see, you know, games like the Chargers game where everything was going wrong. And yet he stayed calm. He remained in faith. And we got the job done. And, I mean, you know, that spreads throughout the team, but throughout the whole team in general as well, you know, starting with Doug Peterson, you know, the head coach, who is, you know, the same way, just extremely humble but fierce competitor. And, I mean, that just trickles down throughout the whole team. And this team has nothing but faith.
Devin, I'm going to ask you about Doug Peterson in a minute, but that point you made about Trevor, that when things were going so wrong, he remained so calm. And then afterwards, he told that great story about how he kind of got that in part from my guy, Jocko Willink, that when things go wrong, it's like, good, good, good. And then some of the guys talk about that. Are you familiar with that? Do you know that philosophy? Like when all hell is breaking loose and things are bad, Jocko would say, good. What that then means is, and he'll insert some reason why it's good.
Yes, I've heard that before. And I think it's just reassurance to yourself of, first of all, not saying the wrong things. You're saying the right things, accepting what comes to you. And, you know, just, I mean, really just finding a way, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter how it looks. You have to accept the adversity. And I did hear that before, but, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, somewhere along those lines, it was something like that.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm curious, Devin. Like you obviously work on the mental aspect of the game. How important is it what you say to yourself, how you say that thing to yourself, especially when things are not going right? Is that something you put a lot of time into, that self-talk?
Yes, 100%. And it's so important just because everybody is so good at this next level. So you have to separate yourself somewhere. And I find it's definitely on the mental side of the ball, what you're saying to yourself. You know, our coach, Bob Sutton, he says your mind goes in the direction of your most dominant thought. And so, you know, whatever you truly believe, more often than not, it's going to happen. And so, you know, I choose to believe the right thing, say the right thing. And not just myself, but really the whole team. You know, when you say the right things happen to you.
And by the way, it's conscious, right? Like it's a muscle. It's a discipline. You can develop it other than letting your mind control you and kind of running off amok. You can learn to control your mind, but you have to work at it, right? It's like a muscle.
Yes. Yes, 100%. And I really basically eliminated the word can't out of my vocabulary. Every time I find myself saying, like, even if it comes out accidentally, I'll be, no, I won't, or, you know, I'll just correct myself right there. But, I mean, it's definitely a mindset, and you definitely have to train yourself. But, you know, even stuff like can't, I think can't is the most, you know, common term, and I think it's just something where you have to train yourself. It's not that I can't do this. It's, I haven't done it yet.
No, I love that. Here's another one, and I didn't make this up. Instead of I have to, it's I get to. Oh, yeah. Man, I have to do this. No. I get to do this. There's a lot of them. Let me ask you this. Now, you're clearly not somebody who's looking to get out of putting in the work. However, I heard Coach canceled the final OTA today. How fired up were you and the rest of the fellas when you found that out?
Man, that was awesome. You know, we definitely had an inkling just because the schedule was a little different, but we didn't know what it was going to be. And when he said it was paintballing, everyone was ecstatic. And that was a great time. I mean, a lot of it had to do with team camaraderie, building relationships outside of football. And I think that only strengthened our relationships even more. But then it's also fun going out and competing in something other than football. You know, we have ping pong. We have little stuff in the building. But I think that being so live action in real life, it was great. And, I mean, it was just a good time.
Hey, dude, what is your strategy, your paintball strategy? Are you going to camp or are you going to go out and hunt?
Man, so the first game we were kind of playing conservative. You know, a lot of guys were back, and we kind of tried to attack the sides, and we lost. So we realized that didn't work. So the next three games that we played, we were just hunting. We were aggressive. We had guys surrounding the perimeters, and, I mean, really just everyone was just hunting. Everybody was attacking, and we figured out that that was what we were best at.
I like it. You made the adjustment. So one final thought. You know, the last time I did this, I haven't paintballed in a while, but I've got a couple of sons, and one of them wanted to do it for their birthday. We actually had a big paintball party at Camp Pendleton, and that was tough, dude, because the terrain was tough. Like, I'm rolling ankles. I'm like the old head. The kids are out there having a good old time. But what was the terrain like where you guys played?
We had one area that was in the woods, so it was however you would imagine the woods to be. And the other two were actual turf surfaces, and, you know, they had different blockades and things like that. But we played on both, and the woods was definitely an adjustment because we had played on the turf, flat surface terrain for, you know, the first three games. But, I mean, they had a good mix. They definitely had a great set up. I forgot the name of the park, but they did a great job.
Did any of the guys have their own custom paintball guns? Because every party has one.
No, because nobody knew we were paintballing. Okay. Somebody would have brought one, but we would have said, no, you can't use that.
I got it. He is in his second year with the Jacksonville Jaguars, coming off a good rookie season. But like you said, I want to make it even better. And Devin, you sound great. You look great. And really good to have you back on the show, man. I appreciate it. We'll do it again, I'm sure.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope you
appreciate you. You have a great day.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you too. Good energy. Duval! Love the Jags. The Jags are one of those great jungle teams because back in the day when they were really good and we did a tour stop, they were so much fun and they were great to work with. And then even in the thin years, when things were not so good, they were still great to work with. And Duval always brought the energy and they always had that great vibe. And now that they are a team to watch, they're still great to work with. Sometimes there are those teams that need the pub, and they're great to work with, and then they come up, and then they don't need you, and then you can't find them. Jacksonville has always been great to work with. And then they've got good guys with good energy that are good players, like Devin Lloyd. That's a great conversation.
Duval!
I love that he referenced Danica off the top. That was so cool when he goes, I don't know who that voice was, but that was great. The Queen, Devin. She is the queen. She was recognized by the NFL as one of the fans of the year. You know what I should have done, Alvin? How great would that have been if we doubled back? I didn't think of it at the time, but then played her other soundbite for Devin Lloyd.
Now, I'm out of money for season tickets, and the only thing I can do is go to the games, get drunk, find a little tenderoni, and take him home for the night and ruin him. I'm out.
My dude would have loved that. He would have loved that. I'm kicking myself. My two great regrets. I didn't take Robert Plant up on his offer to come backstage, and I did not play that sound drop for Devin Lloyd when he said, hey, I don't know who that was, but that was great. That Duval shout out. He's not wrong. All right, so we're open. 1-800-636-8686. We've talked a lot about the smack off. Everybody got hyped off the promo. My point is, it's not just great content, it is that. But you could be a part of that whole thing. The spectacle that is the smack off. There is still time left. Today is the 8th. It's invite only. It is the 30th. I would love to get somebody new in here. Somebody to catch lightning in a bottle, as I said. Somebody to rip a wild card. Or a golden ticket. You can do it. You can do it with one call. You can do it with three calls. You could do it with a tweet. Anything. If you just come in here and do something so dramatic that we've never heard before. And if that's too much and you can't force it, that's fine too. Just send your prediction. All right. Still ahead, in addition to your phone calls, have you checked out Ellie De La Cruz? This dude is insane. And by insane, like, that's not a shock to anybody. Like, we all have been waiting on this guy. But then for him to show up and then do what he's doing already is absolutely amazing. I will try and get that to you. And more. Also, Matt Barnes was on the Jim Rome podcast yesterday. I may try and run that back for you, too. He had some great, great takes. All of that still ahead, so do not go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Awesome ragdoll cat. Bro, that is a great cat. Good on you. You had a prediction? Not too late for you to get your predictions in. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close. They're convenient. They're known for their guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service. From the professional parts people you know you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Don't forget, $5,000 to the winner. Second place does, in fact, get nothing. Third place gets even less. Let's talk a little baseball now. So you don't need to be like a diehard seam head to be aware of the enormous buzz that has surrounded Cincinnati's Ellie De La Cruz, because it's been surrounding this guy for quite some time. He's been the game's best prospect for more than a minute. So we've all been waiting. Everybody's been waiting on this guy. So the Reds finally call him up. He's a five-tool shortstop. And the hype when they brought him up was at an all-time high in the Natty. And in fact, all around baseball, everybody was dying to see what this cat was all about. And all he has done since being called up is smash the hell out of all the corresponding hype. Point blank, Ellie De La Cruz is the real effing deal. I said it. He made his debut Tuesday night against LA. 1-for-3, couple of walks. The first career hit being a 112-mile-per-hour two-bagger that he dotted off of Tony Gonsolin. It was the hardest hit ball by a Reds player all season. His first major league hit. But that was just an appetizer for what the 21-year-old, he's only 21, for what he had in store for his second career game last night. Batting in the bottom of the first in what may have been that, quote, Barbie doll Syndergaard's last start ever, maybe, Ellie embraced his inner Mets kid and told this 0-1 pitch to get the hell out of here.
Golf tournament silence.
Anticipation to see what...
Oh, goodness! That ball had a family! In game two, his first home run! A two-run bomb!
John, that wasn't just a home run. That ball almost exited the ballpark.
The hardest hit ball by a Red this year. That was nearly 115. It brought everyone to their feet.
Like, I'm not overstating this, and I'm not saying for effect. It was one of the most electric bombs I've ever seen. It's incredible. And if you're not watching on CBS Sports Network, find it. It is absolutely incredible. And the ball damn near did leave the stadium. Not the park, the stadium. Like, that ball had a family!
That ball had a family!
That ball had a mortgage.
That
ball had a college debt to pay off.
Had a family.
I mean, kind of an awkward call, but an awesome call. That ball had a timeshare.
That ball had a family.
Kind of random, but good. So good. That ball had a country club membership.
That ball had a family.
Family.
I mean, it did have all those things. That ball went 458. 458 feet. According to StatCast, the second hardest hit home run by a player 21 or younger since they started tracking that back in 2015 from a shortstop, and his first bomb ever. If this guy's doing things like that from that position at age 21, I mean, look the hell out. And it's not like that's the only thing he's doing. In his next at bat, he showed even more tools. Remember I said, a five-tool shortstop. He showed that blazing speed with his first ever triple. So the guy turns one around 458 and then comes right back with a triple in the third.
De La Cruz bashes to right center. Is he for real? He's going to go three. Easily has a triple.
This dude, I mean... If you're watching again on CBS Sports Network, man, this dude runs like the wind. He flies. He glides. I'll give you a sixth tool. You talk about a five-tool guy. He's got six. He's 6 foot five at shortstop. Hey, look, Cal Ripken was a big shortstop. My man did not run like that or hit bombs like that. According to MLB Pipeline, the fastest home to third time in the majors this season... And the second fastest in four seasons. Again, his first triple ever. This guy's doing this like in the same game. In the first few innings. In his second game. The guy that everybody in baseball had been waiting on shows up and starts doing those things.
Is he for real?
I mean, that's a fair question. Is this guy for real? Is this real life? This cat in Cincinnati is the absolute rage. The talk of the entire baseball world right now. I mean, think about that. I just played two Cincinnati Reds highlights. I'm playing Reds highlights in early June. But for real, Natty, how fun is Reds baseball right now? And not only with Ellie, but also what about Matt McClain? Another shortstop and second baseman and former UCLA Bruin first rounder. Who was just called up, and he is absolutely destroying it too. Jack Savage probably knows him. And wait, there's more. Even Joe Burrow was getting in on the young prospect hype. Yes, that Joe Burrow, another one of Jack Savage's idols, Joe Burrow. The city's alpha was launching missiles himself out of Great American Ballpark in a pregame BP yesterday. Don't believe me? Take a listen to Cool Joe, who just got cooler, getting in some hacks in the pregame yesterday. Listen to how this sounded. That ball had a family, Joseph. Four bombs out of the ballpark for the franchise. Joe Burrow, not bad. Hell, Joe, if the Bengals will not pay you what you want, you could always use that for negotiating tactics. You could go prime. Yeah, I'll go play some baseball. You could be that guy. That ball, not only did that ball have a family, that ball just gave you some leverage.
That ball had a family!
That ball got me paid on the gridiron!
That ball had a family!
All in all, a great, great day at the ballpark for all of Cincy yesterday. Cincy, not the Dodgers, and not that, quote, Barbie doll Syndergaard Mets kid. Unfortunately, it looks like Syndergaard is out of good days, unfortunately, at the ballpark.
Syndergaard! Get out of here, you little Barbie doll. Get the f*** out of here. Go get a little robotic arm. Because you can't even stay two innings for this team without getting hurt. You f***ing idiot. It's all Ray Ramirez's fault, that f***ing mole face. Get him out of here. You got Kevin Plawecki getting absolutely rocked. I mean, you know it's bad when you can put the backup catcher in there. Like, damn, get the hell out of here and go to the minor leagues, boy. Terry, it's over for you, you little head, you little orange, you smoke. You just need to get out of here, because I'm not liking what I'm seeing from this team. 23-8, Terry. Better wake this team up.
I mean, this kid is getting better. I don't know. Thor did last three last night, kid. That kid at that time was probably the best talk show host in America. I mean, what do I always say? Take, 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 take. That kid's just fire, 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 fire. Terry! I love that
Terry.
Kid.
Terry?
I want to freeze that kid in time. I mean, the kid's probably like some lawyer right now somewhere. I have no idea where he is or how old he is. I just want to freeze that kid in time. I want to freeze that moment in time. Terry! You mole face! Absolutely incredible. All right, we're not there yet, which is good news for you, because we are not there yet. Ellie, man, this guy is incredible. Like, time just stops when this guy, I want to say when he gets a bat in his hand, but when he does anything. When this guy gets out of his car, time stops. When he jogs out to short, I drop everything. This dude's amazing. Reds fan. I mean, wow. One of the best things I've seen in a long, long time. All right, we are coming right back. Phone lines are open. I want you, if I don't get to it today especially, check out episode 270 of the Jim Rome Podcast. Matt Barnes showing up like the media pro that he is. Truly, really good stuff. I may still get that in. I'd also love to get some phone calls in. 1-800-636-868. Trying to turn this segment over to you clones. Never the best idea, but I'm trying to. You know, I made the point that I want to freeze that point in time. I don't want that kid ever to age. But the fact of the matter is, that take, that rant, ages so well. Every time I hear it, it gets better and better and better. What can you say that about other than wine? And I'm not a wine guy. But that sound, it's incredible. It ages beautifully. Every time I hear that, and I don't want to listen to it too many times because I don't want to wreck it and play it into the ground, but it gets better and better and better. Romy, the Mets kid is either a lawyer or in prison. It really could go either way. Wore one of my favorite sound drops. Terry! Signed, Amber in Portland.
Terry?
Jamie in Green Bay writes, Mets kid has definitely been kicked off a flight since becoming an adult. This guy gets it too. At Husker Rocker. This goes back to Larry's call. He writes, that was actually a good call by Larry. But hilarious how Alvy was like, oh no. Oh no, he's not getting one through and not getting run and just running him out of habit. Hashtag love to see it. I don't even think that's what it was. I don't think that it was a reflex, and I don't think that he ran him out of habit. I think that he knew that Larry didn't do anything that warranted him getting run and that Larry was pleased with himself. And Alvin was not going to let him have that moment. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no, Larry. You're going to get run. No matter what you do, you get run. That's who you are. That's what you do. You get run. You make it worse and you get run. Yeah, but Alvin, if we're objective and if we look at the call just for what it was, it really wasn't runnable material. Like, if somebody else made that call, we would not have run them. To which Alvin might say, yeah, but somebody else didn't make that call. Larry made that call. And we always run Larry. To which I would say, you're right. Essentially, he ripped Larry's joy. Larry doesn't know. Larry thinks every call gets wrapped.
That's right.
He doesn't even know. He doesn't know that he was run. Larry is trying to cash his golden ticket, which he does not have. 1-for-3, C1. That ball, having a family call was lame. My call of a home run was actually better. Regards, Tom Brenneman. Did you notice that I didn't play that during that, Carl? And for a reason. I didn't want to reset that. It didn't make it better, so I left it alone. So you don't need to bring it around. You follow me on that, Carl? And the rest of you. What are you laughing at, Kelly? I'm telling you. All right, if you heard that Smackoff promo, you should be all kinds of inspired. Maybe intimidated, knowing that you can't hang with big dogs, but you should be inspired. You should want to be a part of that. I know this guy is. Let's go to Menifee. V in the fee. Yo, V, how you feeling? What's up?
Jimbo Slice, my brother, and Alvin D. Emphasis on the D. That Smackoff promo was absolutely incredible. It got me hyped and jacked. I had to call in today and shoot my shot. Yo, Romeo, I know you said you wanted more female participation in the Smackoff, which I'm all for. But did you forget about those two bitches you had on the watch list? Chrissy in Southeast Wisco and John in Philly? Let me start with John in Philly, who shockingly didn't get off the watch list after he made a call about me and made a toilet paper joke. Don't worry, jackass. I'll show you how it's done. John, you're the toilet paper of the jungle. You're just here to tell me how my ass tastes. Oh, wait, my fault. I just checked Stucknut. His dumbass is on the watch list on the moor. Don't worry, you're still a little bitch. And Chrissy in Southeast Wisco, that quote-unquote dynasty hasn't called back since I buried his bitch ass a few weeks ago. Good old Chrissy thinks he's a dynasty like Patrick Mahomes when he's more like a Jackson Mahomes dynasty. His quote-unquote career just died nasty, you creep. And he might have a body of work. Well, I just work and collect bodies. Like, I just got two of them. Well, four, because Jeffrey the Hutch, fat ass in Richmond, counts as two. And I'll be honest with you, Jimbo, my first calls, I was messing around, being immature, triple UN, not taking it seriously, rookie mistakes. But I know for a fact I was born to run smack. Hell, the first two letters I learned the alphabet were F-U. And they only call me VD because I'm nothing to F with. The difference between me and these losers on the bubble for the Smackoff, they would be satisfied getting a golden ticket, where I'm only satisfied winning the whole bleeping thing. And oh, CBS cameraman, put the camera on Alvy, on Alvin DeLauro, the king of the promo. Next time Paul's dog calls in, get your hand off Alvy's snake and run his ass. V in the fee. out.
V in the fee. All right, so his point was he got hyped up by the promo, inspired to try to get off of the watch list to get into the field. He was trending in that direction until he referenced Alvy Snake. What do I do with that guy? VD in the fee. Because he's not one to F with. You're in, V.
Because I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden
now,
ticket.
Before you do a victory lap, understand that today is June 8th. The event is June 30th. Two extremely important factors to consider. Because you have a golden ticket today does not mean you will have a golden ticket on that day. There's plenty of time for you to lose it between now and then. Number two, even if you have a golden ticket on that day, it does not guarantee that you will get on the air. My advice to you, stay aggressive. Stay aggressive. Default aggressive. As Jocko would say, default aggressive. Default aggressive for two reasons. In your case, VD, number one, playing not to lose will get you beat. I've said this. Scared money don't make money. So you have to stay aggressive. You have to stay available. You have to stay apparent. You have to be visible. Number two, you want to start stacking wins. So I think to myself on the day of, you know what? I trust the guy. I want the guy. He's going to make it better. So the good news is you just played your way off of the watch list. You are now holding a golden ticket. The bad news is it guarantees you nothing. Stay aggressive, dude. That's my advice to you. Because I want good things for you. I like you. And I want you to make it better. But you got to get better. But for right now, you're in. For right now, you're in. You know what'd be funny? If you were to call back right now and RSVP. Yo, Romeo. I'll be there. But you might not be, VD. You don't need to RSVP because you're not actually invited. You're kind of invited. The golden ticket means you're eligible more than invited. You know what I'm saying? So don't RSVP just yet. Now, this guy's another funny character. Never calls, ever, but then is part of a show that breaks down the smack off after the smack off and never calls. Except this time of year, he starts to call. And hey, listen, I'm not here to crack on him. I always say, shoot your shot. Shoot your shot. Somebody might work a miracle. Maybe this guy plays his way in. How great would it be if I went back-to-back golden tickets with two of the most unlikely sources? On a Thursday, when Alvin's smack-off promo dropped, it would be incredible. Let's find out. We go to the Pool Doc. What's up, Pool Doc? How you doing, dude?
What's going on, Ben Smack? How you doing, brother?
Good, brother. How about you?
Man, doing great. Bro, you have taught us one thing. You have taught us that all pub is good pub, unless it's from Ray SVP, bro. Come on. Do better. Hey, Paul's dog, this is a gender reveal party. You'd be the bitch. Hey, bro, I'm looking forward to talking to you the week up, bro. Continued success, my friend. Have a good one, bro. I'm out late.
Pool Doc, late. No golden ticket for you, Pool Doc. I'm not really sure what the point of that call was. I'm not really sure what I taught you. I don't really know what just happened. Anyway, I think he shot his shot. Anyway, 1-800-636-8686. I mean, that was so bad, I might take VD's golden ticket back. You know, secondhand badassery. It's not your fault. I mean, Pool Doc, you got what everybody wants in this business, a good lead-in. It almost doesn't matter how good your show is if you have a really bad lead-in. We all know this. That's why everybody wants to follow me. Not to mention, I'm in a good mood, Doc. I wanted to give you the ticket. You just did not give me any reason to give you the ticket. But you know what? Let's not get greedy. We did give one away today. That's a win. V in the fee. Man, I'm wondering about a smack off with V in the fee. Could he get in? Could he make it better? Could he break the top 10? He himself just said it. I'm not like those losers. I'm not going to celebrate just being there. I'm not here to take part. I'm here to take over. Like, V is one of those, like, super hyperactive guys who actually thinks he's good enough to win. Like, V's walking around like, BIC's my bitch. I could beat him. I could beat Lef. They should be betting me versus the field. I like the confidence. You need that. Let me get some reaction in here quickly. Brian in San Pedro. VD should have been run for self-glossing at the end of his call. It's not self-gloss. We actually gave him that gloss. So he did not self-gloss. He's V in the fee, and we've glossed him VD. V in the fee has become the venereal disease of the jungle. Now that VD has a golden ticket. Eric Hansen, running Parody Larry to make sure that he didn't think he got over is the hardest I've laughed at the show in a long time. It was pretty funny. For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product experts that are ready to answer your toughest questions. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. Good day. Fun show. Good show, dude. Even I've got the JT. Vincent Goodwill showing up big time. Devin Lloyd was great. Good job on the beef segment. Alvy, amazing job on the promo. VD, congrats, bro. You've got a golden ticket. Check out Matt Barnes on episode 270 of the Jim Rome Podcast. Look for that right now. See you tomorrow. We're out.